Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. This is Dr. John live from the boardwalk in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Elvis is singing for the Hot Summer Nights program, and everybody down here is having a blast. It's as busy as it's ever been and beautiful in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Thank goodness we don't have any more rain. I'd like to say hello to my wonderful, wonderful co-hosts. First of all, Dave Atwell running the board tonight. How are you doing, Dave?
Hey, could feel better. Probably went a little too hard in the heat today. Lessons to everybody. We'll talk about that later. But outside of that, I'm actually doing this one indoors tonight because I've had enough of the damn outdoors for one day. So no cigar to brag about, no cold beer to brag about, because Lord knows no one wanted to get any more dehydration. So in the event you hear any barking or growling in the background, that's just the two hounds trying to put in their 2 cents. But, yeah, otherwise doing good. Good to be on tonight.
Well, if we hear any knocks or whoops, that we'll know that that might be Bigfoot.
Could be.
Yeah, always got to get Bigfoot in there. You know how it is. Todd in our outpost in Indianapolis, Indiana. How are you doing tonight?
I am outstanding. It's supernatural. And as you said, from our Yankee outpost of Pop Culture Stars, I am just living the life, guys. Hope all is well with y'all, man. It's been an absolutely amazing week. Just a lot going on at work. Never a thinking dull moment. And just never know what's going to happen.
Well, that's really the way it is everywhere. But we're glad to have you up in our northernmost outpost. And we wish the Queen Sparkle, Liz, all the best. She's in Washington, D.C. tonight. And she'll be back with us again very soon. Papa Stroh is on assignment, obviously, and hopefully he will be back with us soon, so we are all present and accounted for. So I'd like to start off by sharing something very exciting that I'm getting ready to get involved in here, guys, if I may. This weekend, we do be filming for the documentary Paranormal North Georgia. It's going to be a lot of fun. We got some great folks lined up. We've got Ed, one of the hottest psychics in America. And then we're going to spend about 40 minutes talking about Dave's favorite topic, Bigfoot. Right, Dave?
Outstanding.
So this will be part one of Paranormal North Georgia. We're filming it actually in Lakemont, Georgia, and in Clayton, Georgia. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a lot of folks coming in for it. The film crew's going to be there. We start Saturday afternoon, and we'll finish Sunday afternoon. Then after that, I will be headed due north to Cherokee, North Carolina, to be working on the Cherokee Comic-Con. It looks like we've got some really, really great guests we're going to be able to announce here in about a week. So next week, you can count on hearing about the super, super guests we're going to have at the one and only Cherokee Comic-Con. I mean, we've got some great guests. We've got somebody that has played and is playing Jiminy Cricket for Walt Disney World and for Disney Films. And we've got someone that has got a resume of over 100 anime voiceovers and was one of the original voices on the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the first three films. Big, big star.
Oh, very cool.
We're going to be announcing this, get all the details ironed out Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, so that next Wednesday night we can announce first time the great stars that are going to be on the one and only Cherokee Comic-Con. That's going to be August the 23rd and 24th and 25th in Cherokee, North Carolina at the fairgrounds. So everybody needs to check out CherokeeComicCon.com and keep your blood pressure ready for the announcement of the big stars coming. And we got some great vendors coming. We've got an amazing Hollywood dealer, Smashers Comics, has just checked in with us today, and they will be coming with six tables of classic comics and brand-new comics. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, we're just going to have a great time. So the reason people need to go to Cherokee, and this is how I want to redirect this back to our panelists here and our co-hosts. Cherokee is a great vacation destination, just like Myrtle Beach. Have you guys ever been to Cherokee? Todd, have you ever been to Cherokee, North Carolina?
No. No, I have not. I really haven't. You know me. I prefer the coast and the water.
Yep. Well, if you ever get a chance, come down here because it's going to be a great, great place to have fun up in Mountain, North Carolina. It's cool in the evening, kind of hot in the summer. And we, of course, have a helicopter above us here at North Beach. Dave, have you ever been to the land of the sky, to Cherokee, North Carolina?
No, we haven't, but, I mean, it's one of those ones we often talk about going to, you know, going up that way. It's beautiful country and everything, and it seems like the western part of the state has a whole different kind of air. Maybe it's because of all the stagnant, salty beach air that we get here, the humidity and everything, but when you go to the mountains or the west side of the state, it's funny how it could be 90 degrees, 95 degrees, and you feel like you need a jacket. So, yeah, I mean, I'd love to get on out there.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know if your schedule's going to allow it this year, but we want you there next year. And same thing with you, Todd. We need to have a Pop Culture Stars in-person reunion there, and it'll be a lot of fun. I wanted to say that I've been there a couple of times, and I really do love it. It's so very near a lot of the great anomalous things that I really enjoy. There's the woods. There's just lots of great things you can do. So I want to encourage everyone to come. And now I want to ask the big question to get us started. What's your favorite vacation place? Now, I will say, as soon as the helicopter passes over, let's hope it's not military and they're not taking Bigfoot in. But what's your favorite vacation place? I guess I'm going to start and say my parents kept taking me, when I was a kid, down to this place called Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I came down here two or three times a year, probably when I was 10 years old, all the way until I was probably 21 or 22. And that's why I wanted to move down here. I just love this place. It's a lot of fun. It gets hot in the summer, but it's really nice in the winter. I mean, you know, we call the wintertime 40 and windy down here. And this is the tropics, and I just love it. So that is my favorite place to vacation. We're going to go to Dave next. What is your favorite vacation spot and why?
Oh, well, sure. You know, if you're just doing a day thing, just a quick up and back, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the coast of North Carolina when you get New Bern, Morehead City, Atlantic Beach, Beaufort. A lot of history, a lot of good eating, and very friendly place. So, you know, I would suggest if you're going up and back, making one day of it, you're in the area, you know, to hit up, you know, that area. But when it comes down to places I dig to go, you know, being originally from D.C. and everything, now that our daughter lives up there, would be a wonderful place. But if you're talking a straight-up vacation where you have no schedule and nobody to accommodate, Myrtle Beach, I mean, for crying out loud, you've got Pelican Baseball, which I'm telling you, if you like baseball, even if you don't like baseball, that is one of the friendliest, prettiest, nicest ballparks you will ever go to. Fantastic setup. There's not a bad seat in there. The beer is always cold. I mean, just great place to go. But, you know, Myrtle Beach has got so much going for it.
Yeah,
people immediately start, you know, and the thing, and the error we made when we first started going down there, you know, you immediately gravitate towards medieval times and all that kind of monkey business. That's good, but bang for the buck, There's a little zoo, and John's probably been there, the Sockestee Zoo, that's probably 10 minutes out of Myrtle Beach. And there is not, and as many zoos as I've been to, you know, in Maryland, for crying out loud, you know, they're everywhere, the Atlanta Zoo. I lived in Chicago for 5 years as a kid, went to, you know, Brookfield and Lincoln Zoo. If there's one thing I did not get to do in all those zoo visits was feed the animals. And you go, you go there, and I think it's like $10 to get in. That's And it, you make a $5 donation. They give you a gallon Ziploc bag full of peanuts, and you can go around and feed the animals. Now, of course, you can't feed the lions and the tigers, but, I mean, they've got longhorns, cattle, which are very impressive. They've got bison, zebras, camels, you name it, and they're so docile. They won't bite your hand off. They won't snap at you. They walk up to the fence, open their mouth, and let you put the peanut in there, and then they chew it. And, you know, it's for a kid, that's the cat's ass. You know what I mean? Because usually when you go to a zoo, you've always got a 50-yard view to see the animal, whereas these animals are right here. And, again, very well kept, very friendly. A lot of walking. But it takes you all the way out to the Sockestee River and everything in the swamp. And they've got the herons in the trees. But, yeah, that's fantastic. Everything at Broadway at the beach is great. A lot of good just lollygagging going on there. And, you know, they say you can eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner at a different place every day in a calendar year at Myrtle Beach and never eat at the same place twice. And that's very true. A lot of great places down there. My wife found Hurricane Molly's in our last trip. That was just kind of a little hole-in-the-wall pub-type place. But they had some amazing chow. They have a second story for cigar smokers and everything. You go up there on a veranda and burn a cigar. But there's so much, you know, we always talk about there's so much to do, but there's so much not to do. You know, you can go down there and, you won't do the same thing. When you spend all your money on the big attractions, and not trying to downplay the bigger attractions, but, you know, you go to Medieval Times one, that's about it, because every time you go there, it's the same routine. Different guy wins, but it's the same routine, same storyline. Whereas, if you go
maybe
to the
someday,
zoo,
might be right.
Yeah, I mean it's you know, so much less expensive. It's a local effort, and I mean it's just a fun place, and nobody's. Even in the summertime, it's not. Now, North Myrtle Beach, that's a little hairy. I try to get through there as quick as I can. But Myrtle Beach, I mean, for crying out loud, you can just go down there and everybody's just friendly. Nobody's in a rush. It's just a great place to go. So, yeah, that would be my suggestion, not to jump onto a bandwagon.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. The only people that are in a rush – are the ones that do not want to get a caricature when I ask them if they'd like to get one. They then become in a rush, and all of a sudden, I'm serious, all of a sudden the parking meter is getting ready to expire. And it's 9:30 at night. I say the cops are already, you know, they're already in. There's nobody patrolling down. Oh, there will be. And that's how they can get out of getting one of our great caricatures. I just thought I'd mention that. It's kind of funny. And now, Mr. Todd, I would like – oh, okay. I would like for you to tell us what your vacation spot is, and then I'm going to pose a question for both of you because it looks like I am being called to the caricature stand. I'd like for you guys to tell everybody where would you like to go that you haven't been to and why? That's always a good question. So I'm going to say au revoir, And next week, our guest is going to – guess who's back, guys? Mike Roberts. Producer-director Mike Roberts from Wilmington is back. And
that'll
he's coming
be excellent.
Heck yeah, he's got a bunch of projects he's working on. He's actually the editor for Paranormal North Georgia. I'll go ahead and put that one out. Glad to have a guy with those kind of credentials. I've been talking to some of the folks that were on Vaughn, Ryan and Vaughn Wilson and Mary Elizabeth. So we might have some of those folks on the show coming up the week after that. But I'm going to say sayonara, I am being beckoned. So, Dave, I'm not. Dave, you're done. So I'm going to say, Todd, what's your favorite vacation location? And I will say, sayonara.
All right. Good night, brother.
All right.
We're assuming that I just as followed the Japanese thing. The Gumbate, of course. The and Kosciuszko, of course. The my favorite vacation spot is always pretty much where I'm with the family at any given vacation, something where we could have some quiet family. Well, not even necessarily quiet. We've had a blast at medieval times. We had a fraud of Myrtle Beach day run for you. This was, I had two of my nephews come and visit us when we were there, when I was still in Jacksonville with the family. And we ran down to Myrtle Beach. We did it stinking all. We hit the grandstand, we hit Broadway on the beach, and we hit it, and we found a way to get into all gone medieval times. And we slid into those big seafood buffets all in one stinking day. Oh, and we hit the big outlet area right by medieval times.
Yeah, it's Tanger.
It's right over there. Boy, they shop their various body parts. I mean, we hit it stinking all in one day. It was nonstop. It was continue to move, that kind of thing. It was bloody hot. Everybody come back sunburned. But we had a blast. and that was the thing. That was we shoved in. We shoved in 10 pounds in like a 6-pound bag, man, and we somehow got it done. We were exhausted, mind, and needed a day after that. But it goes to show you what you can, boy, if you put a little logistics thinking ahead of time, and you're like, well, we can do this. It takes this long to do, and this and that. The other, boy, we freaking did it all. Two carloads of us. It was. Almighty.
Yeah, it's I'm telling you, and the thing is about Myrtle Beach that's odd, and this is why I tell people who've never been, go to the small stuff or go to the local stuff. And people look at me crazy when I say that. When you go somewhere, yeah, I'm sure, you know, the first thing you want to do is the medieval times and Ripley's and all that. Go to the Gator Park. They got that Gator Park right there by the House of Blues. You would not believe how fun it is to look at a bunch of alligators. So that place is a blast.
Oh, yeah.
And
there's a ton of those things, but I'm with you on that. I'm just pointing out that how you can cram in a bunch of crap at Myrtle Beach. But some of the best days we had there, damn it, Dave, it's not too far from you. It's on the opposite side of the road. You're shooting a wee bit north. It's down there. There's that little independent zoo down there off that road where Equine Country is.
Yeah, me and Dale have been there. It's pretty cool.
We've taken, because I bugged that guy for years to get feeders. He did. He'd done a million things. It's a small independent run joint. We were there. I saw by the macaw cage that one of them had dropped a feather or whatever, and I told him, pointed it out. He opened the cage and, you want it? Go get it. So I let me in there with the macaws and, got to – just talk with them for a moment while I was in there and, brought out a feather and I took the snipped the end off of it and took some of those old cheap Bic pens and slid it down there in the end. And it's been, you know, we had the old feather quill for writing, quill pen, you know, cheating a little bit, but by using, you know, just using the inserts from those old, you know, those cheap pens that you buy.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, it's one of those silly little things that's still in the stinking house. But we could go there and spend a couple hours just together as a family, few hours. And, you know, it was kind of nice. True story, this will probably tell you all what a rotten SOB I am to be married to. They got these little areas where they've got odds and ends chickens you can walk among. And they're pretty cool. Some of them will come over just to be by you and stuff like that. And there was this one type of chicken that had a white stripe going down the middle. I told you can't go. Be careful. That's a skunk chicken. Boy, you should have seen her jump back. Boy, she's still pissed about that one, boy.
Yeah, it's it's a nifty. It's kind of like a smaller scale one from, you know, the Myrtle Beach. But yeah, you go in there, and I mean, and again, everybody is friendly and outgoing.
Yep.
You know, and again, I'm not trying to kick sand on any of these other places.
You know what? It's not crowded.
Right.
You can take your time, and like you said, you're right up close, personal. The you know, the guy comes out, he brought out some of the fish food, watching the kids feed the fish at the pond, just having a blast, you know, just silly little stuff. The anything where you can get some quality family time, you know. We did we did a trip a number of years ago. We went up to the Virginia Beach area. We hit Busch Gardens. And it was pretty cool because we had one of those generic multi-day passes that we got via the, we used to call it MWR. It's probably MCCS now, Marine Corps Community Services, Morale, Welfare, Recreation, that kind of thing. The and it was either the water, you know, you could go to the water park, you could go to the Busch Garden stuff. Man, we went there, and it was ungodly hot, right? So everybody... we went to Busch Gardens. Most everybody else went to the water park. Can't blame them. Probably a good call on their thing. Well, we did a lot of the water rides, just for the record. Got soaked doing that kind of stuff. But we had a stinking blast. Darian and I went through one of their top-of-the-line roller coasters. Yeah, I couldn't name it for you. But we got to ride it like five times, probably in half an hour.
Oh wow, no kidding.
Yeah, we were right through. We were waiting maybe five trains max. You know, and they got three trains on the tracks at a moment. I mean, stuff like that. I mean, and I don't think we ever waited more than five trains. And that was like to get the front row of the first car.
No kidding.
But, you know, we did the stuff where we were the front row of the first car. Let's ride the back row of the last car. Let's, you know, let's get somewhere in the middle. Okay, what one's the shortest? Just jump in now. And, you know, that kind of stuff. We were getting through rides like that. It was just awesome. And so,
yeah,
you know, you can do 2 days of an, you know, amusement parks like that. Yeah. You know, of a good place, so it was less crowded, yet we were paying with the heat, that kind of stuff. But we had fun. We just had a blast there. We burned through 2 days, and we did it, you know, turn around, and, you know, we had the hotel the night, you know, the two nights, and that was just the way it is.
And you probably weren't pitchforking money out at it either.
Say again?
Yeah, I said you probably weren't pitchforking money out. You know what I mean?
We had the passes. We did that. We had cooler. You know, we had loaded the cooler in the vehicle. We picked a place that had actual mules. And sure, it was overpriced, whatever, but it was a lot cheaper than trying to grab a chili dog or something. You know, that was the sad part. We did the, we had a blast doing that stuff. But I'll tell you, you know, vacations, there's a ton of just awesome places, you know, the days you can go and do stuff with the family. The, again, it's about the family quality time. We've had, you know, we did a trip up to Ohio. It was the last trip where, Dad and Jamie were both alive. We got up there. I closed Sam's on a Sunday. We took off on the road after that. And we got up there, and it was on the 3rd that we closed, and we drove all night. We got up there, and we got to spend the whole day on the 4th with the Neff family, showing them cookout stuff. Took the didn't even tell Mom and Dad that we were coming up there. So the second day, what we did is we parked in the church parking lot, the synagogue parking lot. It's two doors down from where I grew up, and we sent Gary and Tom out to the door, you know, to see the grandparents. I didn't even know. It was just Yuki and I hid off to the side by the hedgerow and just watched, you know.
Yeah, that's perfect.
We did that kind of stuff. So when you can have those kinds of moments, you know, in a vacation, the day trips we've done to the fishing holes. You know me, you know I love my fishing and that, and we you know, whether we do it as a whole family or just Connor and I think you remember the story. It wasn't long after I got my my current vehicle. Yeah, hell, I'll throw it out there. My Mazda CX-5. I just got it in February, so here we are in May. Still got some of that damn new car smell to it. I grabbed the old chairs. Bug spray and stuff like that. We loaded up in there because, you know, I didn't know where Connor was necessarily going to want to fish. We might have been sitting on the beach, you know, and I'd bring some chairs out there and just enjoy a kind of pretty day, that kind of thing. She ended up wanting to fish off the little pier. Well, this is the way that backfired on me. Those chairs that had been sitting outside under the carport all winter at a certain point had apparently got some spider eggs on it. So we're sitting out there on the stinking pier, and the bugs were coming. I think you remember the story. And the bugs were coming out. So I told Connor, here's the keys. Go, hell, I think I beeped it from where I was. I just put the, you know the trick about holding the key fob to your, you could, like, hold it under your chin, and the moisture in our head will amplify the radio wave.
Oh, really?
The moisture in the body and all that, and it'll extend your range massively. And so I was able to beep that, kind of comes back. She went on the spray, and I'm like, what's up with that? She's like, not just no, hell's no. Went back over there. Freaking back of my brand new vehicle was loaded with spider web and baby spiders. And of course, where was her spider web and baby spiders? Right over the bug spray. You know?
So,
I just went and grabbed a stick. I cotton candied it like it was cool. that new car smell was traded for lavender rain.
Spider spray.
It sure was. Boy, it just... It was hard not to get in there and start itching for the next couple months, boy, because that thing was just loaded with baby spiders. That thing just, that was a banner spider egg sack, let me tell you. Dandy egg sack. Yeah. Man. Oh, yeah. Brand freaking new car, man. God almighty. Oh, that was stinking great. But you know what? That was just one of those little day trips, kind of, and it's not the kind of crap you forget, you know?
Right. It was, you know, and it's that kind of stuff right there. And again, it's not anything you're dumping a whole lot of cash on. It's something that you go out and do at the end of your life. And, you know, and the best of the memories, you know, for all the times you go to these big attractions and everything, you're so darn busy doing the attraction, you don't really concentrate on the it, you know what I mean? Because you're too busy just doing stuff. So when you have something like that, you know, that's the stuff you're talking about 20 some odd years later, you know?
Yeah, the whole, you know, family quality time, you get, you know how huge I am on that. The, we've done a ton of, and just a ton of day trips fishing. I don't care whether it was Gary and I, heck, there was time, you know, before he and Casey got married, we ended up doing a day trip going fishing or whatever. Just, you know, it's a quality time being out there, being able to, you know, it's the lessons learned. It's the type of fish. It's, you know, these things here, you know, we're avoiding them. We're trying different things. We're learning these techniques, you know, old school techniques that have worked forever. Here's five variations. One of my favorite things with Casey is we got her, Darian had started to convert her into fishing before he deployed. And while he was gone, I taught her a handful of fishing knots. Right?
Oh, cool.
So when he came back from deployment, he was on his leave, getting some vacation time. They got their time in. He came over, and they both came over. And, Darian, watch Casey. I said, Casey, uni knot. She'd do it. And I walked her through a series of three knots, and you should have seen his jaw hit the floor. You know, it was just, but it's that kind of quality. It was family stuff. Was just, you know, we're sitting there just doing it as family, and you know, that girl can go out and tie a knot and tie her own rigs and that kind of stuff and be rocking and rolling and ready to go, and it's awesome, you know. And for me, I got that, I taught her that crap, you know,
right,
so it's cool,
right.
For me, it's the but you know, he's the one reaping the benefits. They go out there, they have their little day trips fishing, but just have some quiet family time sometimes. And like you said, it's not a ton of money. Come out there, bring the cast net. You never know what the hell you're going to catch. We've been out there on the piers at night shrimping and throw out the cast net. And you're bringing up the net, and it's got these incandescent flashes in it. And they're these little jellyfish that as things touch them, they have electrostatic discharges. It's just freaking cool. I got news for you. You're not going to see that pretty much. It's not happening when you're there on your little game console or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, or inside the house doing things. Or and so you're just learning these things. It's, you know, and you remind people, you know what? Life on Earth operates on electricity. Here's an outrageous example of that.
Yeah,
stuff
that's
happening. Operate on electricity inside it, and it's just, how cool is that? And you never know what the hell's going to show up in your damn net when you throw it.
Yeah, especially in brackish water.
Oh God Almighty, you never know. So I mean, it's just I'll fall into that. I've done the first time we took Aaron hunting, hell, I think it's the only time he got out there with us. It was with one of the guys I'd recruited. He was in the pool. We're out there in Cunningham, Kansas. And they had he brought out their old dog with us and stuff. And just watching that old dog try to recover some of her youth while she was out there, whether she was chasing a squirrel or a rabbit or whatever, I was laughing so hard when she was she was just getting her ass worn out trying to chase a squirrel, that there was not going to be a shot. There was not going, you know, if I wanted it, there was not, I was laughing too hard to be safe. And it was, but just being out there and having a blast, he got to see a good dog sit there and point. You know, when we walked the other field, we went, we took the better, you know, the younger actively hunting dog.
Yeah.
And got out there and just, you know, he got to see a dog point, you know, and do that stuff. And just to watch a good dog work, just to be outside the you're outside, you walk, and it's beautiful. It's, sure, some days are cold, that kind of stuff. But, yeah, no, just try to get outside and do something, damn it. The, you know what? Here's something that might even sound silly. I talked about it before where we've done the mini sunflowers and the moonflowers out front. You know what? That was not a bad day sitting out there working, chilling that stuff, putting it to get stuff together, working with Kana outside. And mind you, the aggravation of her, it's hot, I'm tired and stuff. You know, I'm kind of glossing over that side of things because that's part of the reality of doing those things together and outside.
Oh, yeah.
But being able to show her when it's done. Look, dude, you know, you worked. You helped make this stuff happen. Now you got to keep it up. Come on, time to come outside and weed that stuff. But those little quality things, man, family time, whenever and wherever, that's the best vacation ever. And it might be right there at your own damn residence.
Yeah, you ain't got to go anywhere, you know. Don't have to spend any heavy duty cash, nothing like that. I know I keep going to that, but man, you can you can accidentally drop a lot of cash when you're out there screwing around. So I mean, anything you can find,
man, don't take long.
Now I know, and I've often said that North Carolina is probably one of the best states to live in for a geek. And reason being is that there's so much out here, historically speaking. And you've got, and when I say historically, yeah, everybody's like, oh, well, you know, I don't feel like going to the colonial stuff, like, you know, Tryon Palace or something like that. And, oh, well, you know, I don't like the beach and blah, blah, blah. And that's fine. That's no sweat. But Aurora, which now that they've built the New Bern bypass, getting there is a whole lot easier than what it used to be. But Aurora has a fossil mine. And
there you go.
Found. And the funny thing about it is the way it works is that the whole East Coast back prehistoric times was underwater. And
oh, there's that water levels are rising.
Yeah, they are now, right? But
just saying, even these areas that are previously underwater that are now land, they're going to be underwater again, so water levels are rising.
But what was going on is that area apparently is one of the most phosphorus-rich areas on the planet. Now, I don't know what the hell you do with phosphorus, but nevertheless, what they do is they dredge right off the sound there near Aurora, and they dredge it up, and they take it, siphon out all the phosphorus, and then the rest is all just rock, and fossils. So you can go to this place, and you know, it's called the Fossil Museum. And though that sounds a little intimidating, it's a museum. They've got different fossils that they've found. But, you know, you go in there, they don't charge you to walk in the place. They ask for a donation. So you go in there and you look around, stuff a couple dollars in their mayonnaise jar. But the really cool thing about it is that right across the street, they have deposits of this stuff that they dredged up. So it's the waste, if you will. The waste is a horrible word to use for it. It's not waste. But what they don't use, what the phosphorus is taken from, they load it up in trucks, and dump trucks dump it weekly out here at this museum. So you bring your shovels and sifters and whatnot, and for
there,
free.
There you go. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You can sit out there, and I'm telling you, the first time we went, I found over 100 shark's teeth in less than an hour, and that was without using a sifter. That was just looking on the surface, bending over and picking them up. And they've actually got two. Now, we haven't been there in years, so they might have gotten bigger, but they had two areas that you can dig in. And they also, if you go further down the street, they have a couple mounds that they just dump there that nobody realizes. But yeah, we've found ray skate teeth, we found fossils, we found vertebrae, shark's teeth, you name it, there's all kinds of stuff there. And
yeah, man, the man, you can't beat that.
Now, I'll tell you, it is hot. If you go in the summertime, you go and cook because there ain't a whole lot of shade. But, you know, if you go in the fall, and this is going to sound horrible when I say it, spoken like a true granddad, when the youngins get back into school, you got a fighting chance. And I tell you, you know, I remember, you know, my folks, and of course, you know, my folks, you know, sergeant major and a teacher, there was not a whole lot of breathing, but every now and then, I know I did it with Rob. Every now and then, you just get up in the morning and look at him and go, "You ain't going to school today. We're going to go do this." And,
yep.
You know, school is very important. Don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating hooky. But what I'm saying is sometimes if you just go somewhere on a Wednesday when everybody's at work, all the youngins are in school, and you take your kids or kid or whoever out to these things, you can kind of have run of the yard. And that's what we did. And the amount of stuff that put it to you this way, I was so geeked out about it that the last time me and Rob went there, we took a bunch of those icing buckets from work, the big 5-gallon ones that they put the vanilla and chocolate spread in.
Yeah.
And I carried a spade with me. And when I found out about that pile down there on the end, that's not in the, not across the street from the museum, but a little further down the road. Yeah. Me and Rob did the major recon hit. We jumped out of the truck. He held the pails and I filled both of them up and I still got it. I just still haven't had, you know, was all excited about getting it and have yet to search it. But, yeah, it's like 10 gallons of the stuff from over there. So God knows what's sitting in those buckets that I haven't found yet. But, again, that's another it's a blast. No money putting out unless you want to stop at McDonald's or some mess. And, like I said, if you're coming up from the south, I could tell you back in the day it was a little tough because you had to drive through New Bern, James City, Vanceboro, and all that to get there. But now since they put the New Bern bypass out, you hang a left on that thing and getting to Aurora from Jacksonville, I mean, shoot, you can do it less than an hour if everything's cooperating. So, yeah, just another dandy idea.
The aquarium out there, what is that, Pine Knoll Shores?
Yeah, dude. And going back to Myrtle Beach, and not trying to bash, but you go to Ripley's, and they're charging you like $38 or $40 to get into that Ripley's Aquarium at Broadway now. Because me and Dale, actually, the last time we were down there, we just kind of, we ain't been in there in years. Why don't we go in there and see what they got going on? And when we saw the price tag, we just made a U-turn and kept walking.
The only thing in the heat of the summer, you know that place is going to be cool.
Yeah, that's true. A little AC going on. But, yeah, the Pine Knoll Shores one is absolutely incredible. And down the street, you have Fort Macon, of course, which is, for the history geek, pretty darn impressive. Now, I will tell you, if you go south to Wilmington and go to Fort Fisher, the aquarium down there is equally as impressive. But Fort Fisher, unlike Fort Macon, that actually has walls and cannons and all that, Fort Fisher is a mound of dirt. And that's not being facetious. It's a mound of dirt. And that was the whole story behind it, that, you know, they defended the coast with a mound of dirt. And so if you go down there with these grandiose ideas, now they do have a Civil War museum down there that's about the size, probably about the size of a grocery store. And that's another nifty thing. You can walk in there and, you know, it's hour and a half's worth of checking out stuff. But yeah, when it comes to aquariums, both of those ones, Fort Fisher, Fort Macon, or the Pine Knoll Shores, better yet, like you said, lot more to do than just looking at fish. They've made these things totally involved.
Oh yeah, they got a little area in there that they do the sifting for the kids to find the shark's teeth and crap.
Yeah,
the kids can go in there in that one little area, and they just neat stuff. Just, you know, little stuff. So if you can go out and do those odds and ends things, we've had a blast going to. I tell you, it's been forever since I've been there, but still gone there when we were stationed up there at Cherry Point. Used to love going to hit the Chili Festival.
Oh, really?
Right there in Havelock, yeah. Now, mind you, their initial experience was different because I go there. I was up at the G1, and so I knew a bunch of the people at the different units. You go there, and so-and-so would be there. Hey, Harry, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. He's on this camp, and so-and-so, and just, you know, one of those things. You know, you sit there and do it, and, oh, yeah. You know, then you talk to the people in the booth, or, yeah. And a lot of that stuff in the whole, that whole Down East thing, I remember when we got back to the East Coast, we were in Sam's, looking at the pots and pans and stuff, and this lady comes by and she goes, oh, honey, do you need? I was like, you know, and she had tapped me on the shoulder and she did it, and she's like, oh, honey. And she wasn't hit, she wasn't anything. She was one of the, I'm going to say it, non-EBT types that was in there. She was one of the real people in there that's just people.
Yeah.
And you know, she saw somebody else looking or whatever, and she's like, hey, this is what I use, and this is why I like it. And, you know, and she threw out that, you know, I cooked for, you know, my kids in the band, and, you know, they do slumber parties, and they got to cook for freaking 10 kids on the weekend and that kind of thing, and they these hold up real well. And, you know, so just real stuff.
Yeah.
So if you can get to some of the smaller real stuff, absolutely.
That's the way
absolutely.
To go.
Hey,
I
we're at 10 minutes, brother.
Yeah. Get ready to shut this thing down. So we'll do the plugs before we unplug. We're keeping this thing to 1 hour because this old man needs to get in bed. But anyhow, Todd.
It's
go
so
ahead
funny.
And
young
and
old you say this old man. Oh, it's hilarious.
The mileage.
I hear you. The all right. I'll talk about let's talk about workmates. The I guess what I'm doing is more of a bit of a PSA. I'm going to slide in a plug. My guy Jordan, he's a graphics guy. He does some of these amazing stuff. He showed me his updated work, working with his brother stuff, things like that. It's kind of cool. And I'm trying to weave me to get him on the show and plug what he's doing, see if we can find a way to do that here in the future. But he does some great work. But it's just, you know, the way workmates, remember that when things are tough, try to find a moment to laugh with one another. Try to find a moment to make things a little bit lighter, because we all got our workloads. We all got stuff going on. We all got stress, and we can find ways to smile, ways to say something, you know, just to laugh. And it may take starting by laughing at yourself. But watch out for one another. You know, same way you do it with your family and your household, do that with your workmates. Build that support team. Do little things. See, I told you last week I planned on making jerky. I got my job has me putting people on timelines to deliver. And so my job is, give me this. I need it by then. No, that's not right. Do it again. I need this. I told you this, not that. And I do a lot of that. And that is freaking just, it's hard on my guy. My teams, my stakeholders are freaking superb. They bust their asses. They try to get things done. I made that jerky. And I, you know, 2 pounds, you know, 2.25 pounds of top round does not go far by the time it's made in the jerky. But I took the time to get to as many of my stakeholders as I possibly could and get it to them. I had some of my cats are, they have the celiacs. So, you know, I can't have anything with the wheat in it. You know what? I found some tamari. I found a way to make some gluten-free jerky. You know, because a lot of wheat and soy sauce, so they couldn't do that. Yeah, so, I do that. So, you know what? Those were some of the, you know, just trying to go back and give a little love back. So, give a little love back. Do some of those little things. See, one of my stakeholders this morning, I saw that I had missed a call yesterday after I left. So I came down this morning, talked to him and that. So I ended up, he wasn't there yet. And usually he is. So that was amazing that he actually wasn't in as early as I was. So I gave him the call. We talked and he started going through this stuff and he's like, well, damn. He goes, actually, I was wrong. He goes, what I was going to call and complain about and fuss about. And he knows that he would have just been fussing at the messenger and stuff. And he's pretty freaking senior. He's the equivalent of a lieutenant colonel. And it's like, Okay, so the bottom line is you called the bitch at me about, he goes, yeah, I know, I'm eating crow. So I brought him down. So I come down later. I had a piece of the jerky. He said, hey, sir, try some of this. I made some homemade beef jerky. And I go, it's going to be better, you know, and that's a dig, but part of the rapport and showing him it's okay. But it's better than crow. And he laughed, and he's like, you know, thanks. And he just, it's little things. So do little things for one another. Do little things for one another. So, Jordan, hope the graphic things work. Hopefully we can get you on the show and let you talk about that a wee bit. Teams, just take care of one another.
Yeah, man.
Just take care of one another. Those little things. And, yeah, just try.
Yeah,
just try.
Doesn't cost you anything. Yeah, just give it a shot.
There you go. There you go.
Well, my plug this evening goes out to wishing a big happy birthday to our great friend and brother, Ryan Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Who celebrated,
oh, God.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, that's one of the two. I'm so sorry I missed that.
And, yeah, yeah, he's another quality guy. He's been on the show enough times, and he's another guy that just, you know, it's not about him.
Yeah,
you're not going to find a more quality run of the, I don't say run of the mill, but I mean salt of the earth type guy who just is modest.
Real people, dude.
Yeah, and for
real
all
people.
That, for all that he's accomplished, you could sit right down and shoot the breeze with him all afternoon. So, yeah, happy birthday to Ryan.
He's nice and gives smiles to people anyways, but the whole thing is, especially when he recognizes you and stuff like that, he even has a wider, broader smile, and he's got a great smile to begin with, and that's just money.
Yeah, absolutely. Quality guy, man. So happy birthday. Don't eat too much cake. And, yeah, looking forward to seeing you. Maybe in November.
Well, I got another birthday. I got to throw this one in there just to be brought up. I can't believe I freaking forgot. My fine Pita DQ, Steph, love you. Happy birthday. And for those that don't understand what fine Pita DQ is, it's fucked up, insecure, neurotic, emotional, pain in the ass, drama queen. That's my girl. Love you, Steph.
Whole list, right? All right. Well, with that being said, we're going to cut it short a little bit this week, but we will be back. Bubba, just learned how to speak yesterday. We will be back next week. Pop culture stars. And hopefully we'll have Stroh and John joining us for a little bit longer, so it's not the time.
Well, we should have Mike, right? We should have Mike Roberts with us. Is that what?
Oh, that's right.
John said?
Yeah, yeah. So that'll be, and we
Dr.
might perhaps
John.
Get Ryan too, because Ryan's right there in the groove. But I'm going to go ahead and cut it short, and since I don't have to walk inside to get to my laptop tonight, Todd, you're off the hook. You don't have to talk for a minute for me to get in. I'm just going to go ahead and click it. So, with all that being said, Todd, my brother, have a good evening. And
you
to all those
well,
out there.
Yeah, listeners, thank you. Love
you. Thank you.
Big hugs, guys. We could not do this without you.
Most definitely. And we certainly appreciate the support when it comes down to it, because, like I said, this is one of those things we enjoy doing. It's like our bowling night. So,
yeah,
it's good to know people join in, you know. But with that being said, good night, my brother, and good night, everybody, from Pop Culture Stars. And we will talk to you next Wednesday at 2100. Y'all take care.
All right. Big hugs, all. Big hugs. Where's that British lady?